The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, good day, Toasty Toadettes, and welcome back to the show. It is Tuesday, November 12th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And I guess today that's 11, 12, 13. That's kind of cool in and of itself, isn't it? I'm still here in Nampa, Idaho, at my parents' house, bringing you this last live show from Idaho. But it's our first live show to begin our four-day CPS week. That's right, we're going to be taking a look at child protective services and the effect of family law versus marijuana law, and specifically how medical marijuana patients, even in the 20 legal medical marijuana states, can still be victimized by child protective services over their use of marijuana, not to mention the 30 non-medical states where it's clearly a problem if parents are caught using marijuana. This week, we've got an all-star lineup of guests who will be joining us to talk all about family law and child protective services. On today's show, at 1:30, we're going to be going into an extended interview with Sarah Frank, the founding director of Moms for Marijuana. She is also working on the Lily Fisher case up there in Spokane, Washington, where a legal medical marijuana patient is fighting to maintain custody of his little daughter. So we'll talk to her about that at 1:30. And again, it's going to be an extended interview, so it'll run into the Radical Rant time as well. And then when we go into hour two, Toker Talk Radio, at 4:00 Pacific time, our guest will be Sabrina Fendrick. She's the Women's Outreach Coordinator for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and one of the founding members of the NORML Women's Alliance. She will update us on some of the cases that are happening around the country with respect to family law and child protective services. Throughout the rest of the week, we got all sorts of great guests, including Charmy Goulson, Lindsay Reinhart, Sarah Arnold, Mark Reinhart, all sorts of great experts on this issue. So make sure you stay tuned all week long for our special investigative look at child protective services and marijuana law. Also on today's show, we're going to have some time to go behind the headlines. I saw this headline coming out of West Virginia that proclaimed some sort of great success in dealing with the drug testing for employment training, and we take a look at those numbers to find why the success is total bunk. But before we get that, we got to start with our 420 radio headline news. We got news internationally from Israel and Liberia, as well as the headlines here in the States. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com. or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, November 12, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Official Liberian President's convoy smuggled pot from ABC News. Liberia's Drug Enforcement Agency has arrested the head of the presidential motorcade for allegedly using an official vehicle to smuggle 297 kilograms of marijuana into Liberia from neighboring Sierra Leone, officials said Monday. The vehicle used in the operation is known as Escort One, the jeep that normally leads the president's convoy. Liberia's DEA has in recent years tried to combat marijuana farming in Liberia's interior counties, which is primarily done for local sale and consumption. However, weak drug laws have made the practice difficult to curtail. According to a 2012 World Drug Report from the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, 9% of Liberian high school students use cannabis. Moms for Marijuana group plans rally, from the Medford Mail Tribune. A group of mothers who fear they could lose custody of their children because of medical marijuana use plans to rally today against efforts to restrict access to the drug or to impose harsh penalties on users. Quote, we're just mothers who've had enough, end quote, said Lindsay Reinhart, the founder of the group. The loosely formed group, Southern Oregon Moms for Marijuana, plans to hold a rally at 4 p.m. today on the Jackson County Courthouse steps. The rally is one of many rallies being held by various chapters of Moms for Marijuana. Reinhart is also the director of Undergreen Railroad, a newly formed group which will attempt to help growers and cannabis users relocate to more pot-friendly states. Moms for Marijuana will also hold a meeting at 6 p.m. Friday at Southern Oregon Community Center and Clinic in Medford. Michigan bill advances to distribute pot through pharmacies, from Think Progress. A bill advancing in the Michigan Senate would make marijuana available in pharmacies, but there's one catch. It is contingent upon a change in federal law. Michigan already has a medical marijuana law, and four more Michigan localities passed ballot initiatives last month to remove penalties for marijuana possession. But Michigan's medical marijuana law authorizes homegrown marijuana and dispensation via caregivers. A February court decision found that the state's law does not authorize even small-scale sale or distribution of marijuana. The bill that passed the Senate Government Operations Committee 3-0 aims to subject medical marijuana to the same safety and quality standards as other medicines by dispensing it through pharmacies. Because marijuana remains a Schedule I substance under federal law, however, and deemed to have no currently available medical use, pharmacies are not permitted to dispense marijuana. The bill, therefore, would be explicitly contingent on a change in marijuana's classification from Schedule I to Schedule II. Other drugs that are Schedule II include cocaine, opium poppy, morphine, and codeine. Israel takes to homegrown pot as wall curbs Arab hash, from Bloomberg.com. The shift in Israel's cannabis supply is an unintended effect of tighter border security. While Israelis long smoked hash from neighboring Arab countries, a new fence and more vigilance on the borders have thwarted shipments. In response, Israeli dealers are increasingly growing their own. Boaz Wachtel, founder of the Greenleaf Party and a key figure in bringing medical cannabis to the country, said, quote, "From a public interest standpoint, this is a positive development. The stuff grown inside Israel is of higher quality. Some hash coming in from Lebanon was just clay mixed with sap." Even better, Wachtel says, drug money is no longer going to places that shoot missiles at us. Medical marijuana is tightly controlled in Israel, where scientists have led global advances in understanding the health benefits of the plant. About 9,000 patients suffering from diseases such as cancer and multiple sclerosis are using the drug. Three quarters of Israelis believe marijuana has legitimate medical uses, according to a survey commissioned by the Jerusalem Institute for Market Studies. The dwindling supply of cheaper hash from Arab countries is costing Israeli smokers. Black market marijuana has risen to about 100 shekels, or $28 per gram, up from 70 shekels just 3 years ago. Attitudes toward recreational use are more conservative than in the U.S. Only 15% of Israelis think they abuse marijuana, and 26% support legalization of the drug, according to the Institute for Market Studies. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines in West Virginia to look at the effect of a drug testing for job training benefits program and why the success being claimed in the newspaper is anything but. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activists to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs. Get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
Welcome back, folks. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And I caught this story coming through West Virginia. Let me see if I can get the paper here. It was the West Virginia Metro News. And the headline proclaims, drug testing program considered a success. So I wanted to take a little look at this, get behind the headlines, get behind the data on this, and just see what kind of success that we're talking about. Let me just read to you a little bit from the story.
smoke my brain.
So sorry, I forgot that to delete these very quiet ads. So sorry.
I'm a witch.
All right, now let's go behind the headlines. And my apologies again on that quiet ad. I got to get that fixed. All right, so the story begins with a program aimed at getting drug-free employees out into the workforce is having great success. In July of 2012, Governor Earl Ray Tomblin enacted an executive order requiring all those who seek job training through federally funded programs to successfully complete a drug test. That decision came after a lot of complaints from state employers who said too many job applicants couldn't pass a company-required drug test. State Commerce Secretary Keith Burdett said the results over the past 15 months have been clear-cut. Quote, folks that can't pass a drug test don't try, end quote. West Virginia was just the second state in the country to require the drug tests. Burdett said out of 1,750 applicants to federal job training programs, only 20 have failed the screening. He can't confirm how many people have come in to apply for the programs and then walked out after they learned about the required test. The screening tests applicants for 10 different illegal substances, including marijuana, methamphetamines, and synthetic drugs. If you don't pass the test the first time, you have to wait 90 days to try again. If you don't pass the second time, you have to wait a year. Burdett stressed, quote, when we take taxpayer dollars and invest it in somebody's training, we want to be sure we can tell the employer who looks at those people for a possible job, these people are ready to go. They're drug-free, they're prepared, they're ready to be hired, end quote. Burdett said a drug-free workplace is a drug-free workforce is a reliable workforce and one employers want to see when they're looking at locating in an area. Okay, so drug testing program declared a success. How do you know? The only data that we get in this report is that there were 1,750 applicants and 20 drug test failures. Well, let's see. That's a failure rate of 1.1%, when the national average for employment drug testing is around 8%. Now, if we could look at the numbers before and after the implementation of, you know, prejudging people by the content of their urine, well, then maybe we could opine that the drug testing program was a success. I mean, if before the testing, the fail rate was 2.2%, now it's 1.1%, maybe we could say, yeah, there's fewer drug users applying. Or if before the testing were 3,500 applicants and now there's only 1,750, maybe we could hypothesize that fewer drug users are applying. But all we have here is 1,750 and 20. So, success compared to what? Considering that the average drug test costs $69, we have West Virginia taxpayers spending $120,750 to prevent 20 people from getting job training benefits. If those benefits work out to less than $6,000 per person, West Virginia actually lost money. Then, consider that a job training program not taken by 20 people means they're continuing to be unemployed, presumably using some state benefits, maybe unemployment insurance, maybe food stamps, instead of getting hired and contributing to the tax base. And it's at least 3 months before they can try the test again, or a year if they're caught a second time. Yay! We just guaranteed 20 people will be unemployed for at least a season. That's got to be helping West Virginia, huh? Look, there is no such thing as a drug-free workplace. Workers are on all manner of prescribed painkillers, antihistamines, SSRIs, SNRIs, and more. Nicotine addicts are often given productivity-sapping times out to get their fix. Sounds different when I don't call it a smoke break, doesn't it? Stimulant addicts would riot if the break room coffee and soda machines were removed. More than a few people, especially on a Monday, are coming to work feeling the after effects of an ethanol overdose. Sounds different than a hangover, doesn't it? When the state employers whine that they can't find enough workers that match their preferred choices of approved drugs on off hours, all I can wonder is, why bother with the drug tests in the first place? By far, the most commonly detected drug is marijuana, because pot stays in your system for days and weeks. It's insane. I mean, a West Virginian could drink himself drunk, snort cocaine, smoke meth, and shoot heroin on Friday, and he'd be clean as a whistle for the drug test on Monday. But if he smokes pot on the weekend, 2 weeks later, he's testing positive, and he's ineligible for job training benefits. This is insane.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Let him bring in the beat.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Desde la revista High Times, te invitamos a venir a Ámsterdam desde el 24 al 28 de noviembre al 26 aniversario de nuestro Cannabis Cup, donde demostraremos las muchas variedades de marihuana y hachís en los coffee shops. También tendremos una exposición de productos, seminarios de sembradíos, conciertos en las noches y una ceremonia de premios donde honramos la mejor marihuana del mundo. ¡Vámonos!
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Electric Tuesday, and we have got Electric Bob on the line. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and just my last day here in Idaho. I can't wait to get back to the lovely green state of Oregon. How are things down there in Arizona?
It's cooling down. It's not bad. Things are good in Arizona. I can't really complain.
Right on.
They could be better. Someone's going to trial for a piece of BHO candy, but what can we really do about it unless we change the laws here?
Yeah, I covered that story last week. It's really weird how Arizona, you've got a law that defines marijuana for purposes of medical marijuana, but then you got an old law that defines cannabis, and that includes resins, and that's where all this bullshit's coming from. So I really hope that turns out good.
like, if the prosecutors wanted to, they could probably get me for resin in the bowl. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane and completely against what the whole purpose of passing a medical marijuana law is all about.
Yep, yep.
Yep. All right, well, let's get to some music here. You got an interesting remix for us today, right?
Yeah, it's Golden Girls. Golden Girls was just a one-time thing for Orbital. He was a big DJ in the 90s. It was Orbital and the Pied Piper. And then this is a remix done, I think, about two or three years ago by another artist named Malone. And Malone is one of the best, like, producers out there right now. He's putting out all these great, like, crazy sounds.
Right on. And as this is a remix is a tune of a tune that we've played before, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if you guys ever played Golden Girls. I don't know. You haven't as far as I've been here.
Okay. It sounded kind of familiar to me. I don't know if I was picking that up or picking it up off of something else there, but appreciate you getting this song to us, and we are looking forward to more of the stuff. Folks, remember, if you want to get your downloads of these tunes in our Daily Toker Tunes, we have a different feed for each day, so you can get the songs that you particularly like. You can also go to 420radio.org and see Electric Bob's post on this. There it is. Golden Girls Remix. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week, Bob. We'll be right back.
Даня Данько. Я редактор журнала High Times. Отвечаю за отдел культивации, или, проще говоря, выращивания. Приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 24 по 28 ноября, чтобы посетить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup, уже 26-й по счету. Там мы сравним множество видов марихуаны и гашиша из межных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка товаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучшие в мире сорта марихуаны. Хотите получить 10% скидку со стоимости билета? Используйте промокод Данько на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The Russ Belville Show airs live at 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, but if you missed any of those live shows, you can catch the replays on the weekends. On Saturdays, starting at 3 p.m., and on Sundays, starting at 9 a.m., all 5 hours back-to-back on the weekends at 420radio.org. Check out 420radio.org/schedule for more information.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's time for us to begin our CPS week. And what we're looking at is the interface of family law and marijuana law, and particularly for people that are in medical marijuana states, parents that are perfectly protected, or you'd think they'd be protected under their use of cannabis for medical purposes, but unfortunately, oftentimes get CPS involved in their situation. We're making a call right now to Spokane, Washington, where we're going to speak with Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana. She's involved in one of these cases that involves a young girl named Lily Fisher and her dad trying to fight for custody. So pick this up on the line just as soon as we can.
So, hello.
Can I speak with Sarah, please?
This is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, it's Russ with the Russ Belville Show. How are you?
I'm good, Russ. How are you?
I'm great. I was just giving our listeners just a little bit of an update on your work and what's going on here with the Justice for Lily case, and maybe we can talk about that. But first, let's talk about Moms for Marijuana and what you guys are doing, and why this fight against CPS has gotten our attention.
Well, Moms for Marijuana is essentially just a large grassroots network of people, and we get inquiries all the time from people for various reasons. We have people join because they've been arrested, or they are using it for medical and it saved their lives, or their children have been arrested and denied a college education because of some drug crime that they got when they were 18. But quite a few inquiries that we get are related to CPS and are related to parents losing their children because of their use of marijuana or even their alleged use of marijuana. I really started paying attention to CPS, it's about 5 years ago when I met a gal in Idaho. She came into one of our meetings down there, and her daughter had been taken at 1 year old because the police came into her house somebody had called in an anonymous tip that was a drug house, and they came in and searched the whole house and found nothing except for a broken bong in someone else's backpack. It didn't even belong to her, but they took her child anyway, and then they adopted her out. And she hasn't seen her since 2006. And that just crushed me, you know, that just broke my heart, and I wanted to do something about it. So I started paying attention, and then I started meeting more people who have had CPS involved in their lives because of marijuana. And all of the allegations and the claim that they hold on to and use to remove these children are injury to a child or child endangerment or abuse or neglect. And they're basing it on marijuana, which is not dangerous. It's non-toxic, it can't hurt anyone, and parents who use marijuana aren't necessarily bad parents just because they use marijuana. They're not going to go neglect their child just because they use marijuana. And then I got more and more involved, and I met more people. I met a gal down in Portland when I lived there who had her twins taken at birth because she tested positive because she was a medical patient. She eventually got them back, but they stole 6 months of her newborn babies' lives from them. And then I got in touch with Billy Fisher. I've known him for quite a few years, and we began a relationship, and then we were fighting for his daughter, Lily. It was a custody battle, and all of a sudden we had to get CPS involved because she was in a very unsafe situation, and he wanted to help her, and the only way he knew how was to call the agency that is supposed to help her. Well, they got involved and they took her out of that unsafe situation, which we were very, very grateful for. And then they turned and looked at him and said, well, we're not going to give her to you because you're a medical marijuana patient. And we're not going to give her to you because we feel you need to do this and do this and do this. And it just has blown up.
Now, we're talking about Washington State, a legal medical marijuana patient here being denied custody after custody was denied to the mother. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, the baby was taken from the mother. The dependency started with the mother. It was a very unsafe situation, and it was very necessary for this agency to be involved.
So as far as CPS is concerned, this dangerous mother and this dangerous father are both equally unable to take care of their own child.
Right. Even though Billy's never had his child, and he's never had any kind of impairment charge to do with marijuana, but they're saying that because he's a medical patient and he's admitted that he's quit before and had to start using it again because his back hurt, they say that that means that he's a drug addict. He has chemical dependency problems, and he needs 30 days of inpatient rehab and 2 years of aftercare drug treatment to get him clean from his medicine.
Wow, this is just insane that we would require, and this is what a medical marijuana state, and the voters are passing this. I think in Washington State it passed like 59% or more, and I don't think the idea here was that you had to choose between your kids and your health. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right, and then they voted, in November to stop locking everybody up just for having marijuana, and now they're going to lock him up for 30 days and withhold his child from him if he doesn't. And today we actually had court, and they've changed the placement plan to, instead of being returned home, to be permanent adoption if he doesn't complete these things.
Wow. Now, is this the first case we've heard of in Washington State dealing with a medical marijuana patient, or just the latest one?
I believe it's just the latest. I'm not sure how many, how public they have been in the past, but I've met quite a few people who are dealing with CPS or have dealt with them, or even just family law. And that's what we're finding. And it's not just CPS, it's family law. And it's the juvenile dependency issues that have to do with marijuana. Parents use it against each other in custody battles, and the courts go against marijuana despite state law.
This is frustrating to me as well, because we see you know, there's other stories that make the news with regard to danger to children. I'm specifically going to go to the gun angle. There was a story in Idaho when we dealt with Lindsay Reinhart and her trying to get her kids, and she was using medical marijuana for multiple sclerosis. And the same week, some mom had left her kid in a car, her kids in the car, unsupervised with a loaded 45, which the older one got a hold of and shot the younger one with. There's never a child endangerment, child. They don't take the kids away from that. I refuse to believe that a pot plant is worse than a loaded gun.
Right, right. And I think that's what we have to explain to people, because of the lies and because of the stigma surrounding marijuana, people actually view it as more dangerous than a loaded gun. And that's just ridiculous.
Let me do a little devil's advocate here, because I imagine, and I've heard from, you know, opponents that part of their justification behind this is, well, you know, marijuana is illegal and people will do home invasion robberies and break in and try to steal it. And so therefore, you know, it's a danger to the child. How do you respond to those criticisms?
Well, I'm an adopted child. And I grew up in a home that was very well off. And I also gave up a child for adoption. And his home, they're a lot more well off than I was. And they had big screen TVs, and they had nice cars and nice jewelry. And I would say that they're more at risk for a home invasion than a marijuana plant, because of a marijuana plant. It's that type of risk is a what if. It's like them saying that, like with Billy Fisher, what if he's impaired? You know, they don't have any proof of impairment. They don't know him. They've never seen him. In fact, he's, you know, been under the influence to walk of marijuana every single day, because he has to have it to walk around.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for him to go into a courtroom, he's taken his medicine. In order for him to go anywhere, he has taken his medicine, just like I have, just like any medical patient. And they're okay with him being on prescription pharmaceuticals, you know, the opiate narcotics, over marijuana. But in all reality, they want him off of everything before he can have his daughter back.
Oh, so they're even maintaining the stance that they don't want him on prescription legal drugs either?
Right. They want him to be completely sober and have a drug-free lifestyle, and instead be in excruciating pain every day.
Right.
You know, any parent who is in pain every day knows that your patience level when it comes to your children because of your pain is way worse than any impairment you would get off of marijuana.
Yeah. Yeah, we're speaking with Sarah Frank. She's the founding director of Moms for Marijuana International, and we're talking about the Lily Fisher case up in Spokane, Washington. Did I get that right, Spokane?
Yes.
Okay, so Spokane, Washington. So, of course, we're talking about a legal medical marijuana patient who's being denied child custody and being asked by family law, or directed by family law here, to give up not just medical marijuana, but all the other prescriptions that help him to lead a pain-free life. I'm wondering, Sarah, is there any evidence, or have you ever heard stories like this with respect to parents who drink wine at night, that they might just be too impaired to deal with their kids?
Well, that's actually what they say. You know, we asked about that when they started talking about marijuana, and we said, well, what about the people who, you know, have a drink as they watch the football game, or have, you know, wine with dinner and then drive their kids home from the restaurant? Or, you know, what about these parents? And they say, oh, well, those are legal. That's legal. And like, well, wait a minute. Marijuana is legal here, too.
Yeah.
So it really is a matter of the department's policies catching up with public perception and state law.
Yeah. And to me, it also seems like a willful ignorance about the effects of cannabis on people.
Willfully thinking that
somehow if a parent is a good parent and they're sober and then they smoked a joint, suddenly they turn into Mr. Hyde, you know, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing.
That's exactly it. They think that after he smokes two bowls in the morning to take away his pain, that he is so impaired that he wouldn't be able to function at all. They also think that he would be so detrimental to his daughter that if she dropped a pee, he would be just so out of it that he'd freak out because she dropped a pee and harm her. These are their allegations, you know, and
they've got nothing in Billy's background at all to ever show that he's violent or mistreating of adults or children,
no,
do they?
No, nothing at all whatsoever. And they go around in circles. And I mean, he does have a criminal history. He made a mistake when he was 18. He did his time. He, you know, and he'll acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. And they try to use that against him in a way, and that's actually how they're getting away with using his medical recommendations against him, because in the state of Washington, the RCW code 59.518.120.
Sarah, let me have you hold on that thought just a second. We'll come back after the break so we can get into the details of this, because I like where this story is going as far as getting the details here. And this is our extended look at Child Protective Services and Family Law. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420 Radio. We're back with Sarah Frank right after this.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Hell, dude, send your mama and daddy out of the room. I gotta get you up on this. You know who I am. Snake, dealing in weed, coke, crack, your choice. Take one hit and you'll do anything to cop more. Steal from your mama, lie, cheat on your homeboys. But hey, that's the price you pay when you deal with dudes like me. Now, some folks will tell you that I'm dealing in poison. But hey, do I look like the kind of guy that would do that to a kid like you? Yes!
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Five of the last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back, everyone. 49 after the hour, we're continuing our look at Child Protective Services and Family Law versus Medical Marijuana. Our guest is Sarah Frank. She's the founding director of Moms for Marijuana and integrally involved in the Justice for Lily Fisher case. Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you, Russ.
We were just getting into talking about Billy, the father here. He's a medical marijuana patient who's being denied custody of his child due to his medical marijuana use in a state that not only has medical marijuana, but also legalized marijuana. We were just discussing how Billy did have one criminal record in his past. And I just want to reemphasize, this was not a violent crime record, right?
Right, right. He's not a violent person.
Okay, so go on with where you were going with the RCW before we left.
Right. It's Washington voters passed a law just a few years ago that added a parental protection to the medical marijuana law, and it's RCW 6951A120, and it states that they cannot solely use cannabis as a reason to restrict or inhibit parental rights.
Okay.
And the way we have found that they are getting away with this is the word solely. When combined with, say, a criminal history that they might have a concern about, or any other thing that they deem concerning, like, for instance, you move. You know, you've lived a few different places in your life, or you had a really bad childhood. They'll say that statistically you're going to abuse your child because your parents abused you. So they'll grab onto that one and then grab onto the criminal history, and then they can grab onto the cannabis as well. And that's how they're getting away with this and how they're getting around that law is that word solely. They
right.
can't solely use cannabis, so they'll grab onto everything else, mental
so it
illness.
Can be a, it can be a mitigating factor when they look at other factors. So they're considering right. Billy's criminal past as the factor, and then medical marijuana is just attached to that?
They're considering just all of them, and the key factor really is the medical marijuana, because everything else they have is, you know, is not substantial enough to remove parental rights. You have to have, in order to remove a child from a home, you have to have substantial risk of imminent harm to their physical and psychological development. And they're saying that because he's a medical marijuana patient and he has a criminal history and, you know, unfortunately he was abused as a child, that these are all enough to be substantial and as a reason to keep him from his child. He's never had his child. This child was not removed from him. He's never done anything to this child.
Okay.
And logically, he is a next relative placement.
So, When family law and CPS are making these allegations that he'd be an unfit parent, they're not also adding in that somehow secondhand smoke would harm the child or anything about the marijuana itself harming the child?
No, they have absolutely no mention of that. They're saying he would be too impaired.
Wow.
And that he admitted that a couple hours after he'll smoke a bowl in the morning, he'll go to work. So they're saying that he admitted to driving while under the influence. And they're also saying, like in the courtroom, when they were looking, he did a UA and it came back positive, of course, and they were looking for the nanograms, you know, because they want to, they play on that nanogram thing. And his nanograms after 2 days after smoking was 6 nanograms, which we all know, and we've had these discussions before with the 502 debate and stuff, that 6 nanograms does not mean impaired. That doesn't even have anything to do with impairment. It has to do with the levels of cannabinoids in your system.
So you're saying this wasn't just a urine screen then? Was there a blood draw to get the active THC?
No, it was a urine screen.
Oh, okay.
And the commissioner herself used to do drug courts. And she was reading the results, and she didn't see the 6 nanogram part. She saw 800 nanograms.
And that would probably be the inactive metabolites, I'd imagine.
Right. So it's, I mean, the people who are in charge and have the authority to terminate parental rights don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to medical marijuana. They have no clue. They have no knowledge of medical marijuana. I had one social worker I was explaining, you know, some of the things I know about marijuana. And I was talking about, you know, the 10,000-year history of this plant, and nobody's ever died. And I just can't believe that. You can't believe everything you read off the internet. And I'm like, well, science shows that it's true. History shows that it's true. The doctors say that it's true. So who should I believe, you or the doctors?
Yeah.
And it just, the ignorance in these departments, because most of these people, you know, they don't have the exposure with marijuana, and they're taught that it's this horrible, horrible thing, and it's a gateway drug, and it's going to make people insane and hurt each other, and all the same rape and madness that has been going on for 100 years, all based off of a lie.
Yeah.
It's amazing what lies can do when people run with them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, they say a lie makes it halfway around the world before the truth has even got its pants on.
Right.
Sarah, in this situation here, what's the time frame we're talking about? How long has this little girl been separated from either of her parents?
It has been 7 months.
7 months. And is she in foster care, I imagine?
She is in foster care with an elderly couple. The father is 84, the mother's in her 70s. They're great people, wonderful people, and we're very happy that she's with them, because, I mean, you know, the unfortunate stories like Alex Hill in Texas, And, you know, there are bad foster parents out there and dangerous foster parents. And these guys are great, and we're happy about that. But that's 7 months that Billy has now missed with his daughter and that these people have had with her. And they're strangers to this family.
Yeah.
And when another thing that we're seeing is that, I mean, they use marijuana to do this, but the CPS problem is not just about marijuana. It's about a lot of different aspects, such as they use tactics to make things go on, and they intimidate and they scare people by saying, oh, we're going to adopt out your kids. This could lead to an adoption. And then they trick them into agreeing to a dependency that could ultimately lead to the termination of their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And like with Billy's case, he was required, the courts are required to give him a fact and finding hearing where they look at all the facts of the case and they have a hearing and they make a decision on what services that the parents need to complete before they can have their children returned to them. And that hearing is supposed to take place within 75 days after the dependency petition is filed and the child is removed from the home. And Billy's took place on the 89th day. And they only did half of it that day, and then it was postponed for another 7 weeks.
Wow.
And these courts are have a deadline to get this case finished, is what they say. And they're the ones who are postponing it so long, and if you fight them, it doesn't matter. The time keeps ticking away, and when you fight them, they make it harder.
Yeah.
And it, like I was saying, you know, this is... Marijuana is what brings our community into this because they're using marijuana to do these things. But this CPS problem is a big problem that needs to be addressed.
I agree. And that's what we're doing for the rest of this week is we're taking a deep look at this. And it's not just going to be from the marijuana angle. I've got Mark Reinhart from a blog called Idaho Calling, who's been doing some investigative research in the financing and incentive programs in CPS that actually incentivize the government to take people's kids and put them in different families. It's just insane. We got to wrap up here coming up at the top of the hour, Sarah. So I want to give you a chance to give people any contact information or places where they might learn more about the Lily case.
For sure. It's the Fight for Lily on Facebook. It's just Facebook.com/fight4Lily, LILLY, like Billy. And then, of course, momsformarijuana.org. And this, we have a rally today, and we've had a call to action with quite a few people who are, you know, have joined and are putting on their rallies. And this is just the beginning of what we are doing. We have plans to challenge CPS policy regarding marijuana at all.
All right. Well, Sarah
Even
Frank.
Even in non-medical.
Yes, Sarah Frank, thank you for keeping up that fight and keeping up the bombs to marijuana. We'll be in touch again to find out how this turns out. And good luck to you and Billy.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. Stick around, folks. We're not done talking about CPS. Coming up next, we got Sabrina Fedrick from Normal. She's going to be talking about cases all around the country and the national fight against family law and CPS. That's all the time we got here for Hour 1, live from Nampa, Idaho. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow in Portland and continuing CPS Week all this week. For everyone here at the Russ Bell Show, I'm Nautical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.